In my podcast each week, I talk about different things that are getting ready. We're talking about on the Sunday coming, and I mentioned to you that one of my great experiences in life was having an hour and a half commute. Right? Anyone agree with me? That's a great experience. No. And that particular commute, and that was one way. And that was through the country. So it wasn't like a city commute. The hour and a half city commute is like 2 miles, right? This was quite a distance. But during that time, I was so bored. I had nothing else to do in that time other than drive. And I tried books on tape, and I tried listening to the radio and that sort of thing. But I started talking to God, right? And that became my prayer school. And I'm so thankful for that. Now, we all are in the process of learning about prayer. And so we're going to talk about prayer today, because prayer is actually kind of the work that we're invited to do. When we come together at church on a Sunday, it's supposed to be part of our work. The word liturgy means literally the work of the people, right? So welcome to work. And so we're also here on Labor Day weekend kind of talking and thinking about that. So let's sort of approach this from the perspective of taking it easy too. What I really don't want you to do is to feel leveraged and guilty about your prayer life. That's not helpful. It's never helpful. What I would like for you to do, however, is to think through, well, what am I doing? And how can I approach it in a way that makes sense? So today, as part of what we do, we're going to talk about intercessory prayer. Now, that's one of those 50-cent church words, right? I love big church words. I went to school for 3 years to learn big church words so you could learn them too, okay? So we're going to talk about intercessory prayer, which means, in its simplest terms, asking. All right, we're going to offer a request to God. We do that in our prayers, asking that request, generally on behalf of others, but it could also be for ourselves. Really, it's praying about the needs of the world, needs of the people that we have around us. Now, sometimes we do that for ourselves, like, God, here's what I hope for today. And you can kind of fill in some of the blanks there. You've probably done that. By the way, nothing wrong with that. Not a thing wrong with that. No request, no concern, no issue is too small. Certainly not too big, but too small. Talk about the lint coming out of the dryer if you really need to. If it's driving you nuts, tell God every detail. My mother-in-law does a lot of the laundry in our house. She's sitting right there. She can tell you about my lint. But don't do it, Jan. Just don't. Sometimes we ask for someone else that we love. God, give comfort and relief to my sick friend. Sometimes our prayers are for groups, for strangers. Many of us have been praying for the families harmed by the shooting at the Catholic Church in Minneapolis, the Church of the Annunciation, and the heartbreaking madness, the mental illness, and the availability of weapons, the heartbreak of the 8-year-old and 10-year-old deaths for all those who were injured. We've been praying for people who are impacted by gun violence. You know, there are 12 kids a day in this country, 12 kids a day that die by gun violence. There's an estimate of 4,300 children and teens shot and killed annually, wounded includes about 17,000 young people annually. That's 3 million young people witnessing or having within the circle of their school community a shooting each year. Death by weapons is the leading cause of death of young people. Since 1999, almost 400,000 young people have experienced gun violence in their schools. 500,000 just having a firsthand knowledge of that experience. We're praying for other things too. We're praying for sickness, for our own health, for the concerns of others. People in this room have cancer. People in this room are dealing with very significant health issues. We pray for our neighbors who are traumatized and afraid. We pray for children all around the world, and we pray for people that have lost their jobs. We have a lot to pray for sure. Okay, so there's some natural questions that come with this whole business of being a prayer. Why do we do it that way? One question is, well, if God is all-seeing and all-powerful, then why would I need to pray in order for God to do something? I mean, God knows the details, right? That's what we say. Why does this need me saying anything at any time? That's a great question. Not a bad question. And a similar one might be, if God is so good, then wouldn't God be in action already? Again, that's a totally valid question. Now, I think that if we spend some time reviewing our scriptures, reviewing the stories of our faith, reviewing our own experiences in life, we might come to admit that our prayers generally do not change God. I mean, if you look at the scriptures, it says, you know, in Psalms, which is a book that's full of prayers. Where are you, God? What are you doing, God? How come you're not doing this, God? God, I need you. God, please help us. God, be here. God, be there. You hear in the Psalms also phrases like, God's love endures forever. That God's constantly present. That God's knowledge goes beyond what we can even put together under our own mind. Enduring and faithful. But we don't change God through that. Rather, I'm going to argue with you today that prayers change us. There's a guy, he's a French mathematician, some of you may know him, Blaise Pascal. He was a mathematician, a physicist, he's an inventor, but also a theologian, a person who thinks about and talks about God. By the way, that's what a theologian is, a person who thinks and talks about God. Have you ever done that? Yes? Raise your right hand. You're now theologians. Blaise says, in calling us to pray for one another, God has extended to us the dignity. In calling us to pray for one another, God gives us the dignity of becoming a cause, of causing things to occur. That our prayers have an effect particularly on us and through us. United Methodists agree with people like Pascal and others who argue that prayer is an activity of alignment. It is bringing in line who we are with that wish and that hope for God in this world. That prayer brings us along into the stream. It aligns us with God's hopes and heart. It helps us to see how we might be involved in the world around us as God's agents, God's people, God's inside people in the world. God gives us a job. That happens at our baptism. It's equipped weekly here through our communion and through your prayers. God gives us a job. So intercessory prayer is not some throw it away, give it all to God gesture. It's some sort of spiritual bypass that keeps us distantly removed and safe. Intercessory prayer is meddlesome. It gets involved in the stuff. Now, do you like meddlesome people? Well, guess what? You're getting baptized into the work. Maybe we need to think about how we are meddlesome in the right way. Intercessory prayer exposes us to how we can be in action with God on God's behalf for ourselves and for others. It connects us with the need. It connects us with the people and can prompt us to act, even be the very answer to the prayer. It is a way of saying, get up off of your knees. This week, we are remembering Katrina. Do y'all remember Katrina? I still have scars from Katrina. And some of you may have gone to do relief work after Katrina and the other hurricane that came just right after that, Hugo, right? And there was so much confusion. And there is great documents, history, and art that has come from that experience of people in New Orleans, Louisiana, Mississippi, part of Florida. And there were questions, where is God, if God is so good? And it has taken years to answer that question. It has taken people consistently going back to the Gulf Coast consistently for years and still to be with people in recovery. I remember at that time being reminded of the words of Fred Rogers, that great saint of the church, right? Does everyone in this room love Mr. Rogers? Because if you don't, you should leave. We don't like you. We don't want you here. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But it's good to listen to Fred. And what Fred would say when he was a little boy and there would be something terrible to happen, what would he say? You've heard this before. What would he say? Look to the helpers. Look to the helpers who are answering prayers. In the book of James, chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, James writes this. Imagine a brother or sister who is naked and never has enough food to eat. What if you said to them, go in peace, stay warm. Hey, have a nice meal. What good is it if you don't actually give them what their body needs? In the same way, faith is dead when it doesn't result in faithful activity. Get up off of your knees. Get down on your knees to pray for sure, but then get up. Our call as Christians is to love as God loves. Love is how God is at work. It's complicated and it penetrates into complexities of our realities that we don't fully understand or even want to make sense of. That love holds all things together and brings healing and hope to our brokenness, even in the desperately broken things. But that love also involves us loving. A few years ago, I got mad at somebody. I know that's hard to believe. But from time to time, as we all do, I get furious at somebody. And you know how that fury goes, right? it's awful, but it also shows up so much in our minds, we know that something's driving it, coming back over and again. In fact, sometimes it feels good to be mad at somebody, or at times it feels good with us. I know this is wrong and it's sick in some ways, but it is sometimes our experience to go, you know what? I really enjoy that karma came back onto her for what happened, right? Oh, that karma joy. There's actually a sophisticated German word for that that I can't remember right off the top of my head. I'll find that because it's fun to say even. Some of you, do you know what I'm talking about, that German word? Right. It's the joy of watching somebody suffer. Because they deserved it. There's been times in my life, more than once, that I've been so upset with somebody. Now, one of the things that I found that someone invited me to do, I resisted doing it, but out of just desperation and a grudge, I started to pray for that person. Lord, twist their ankle. No, that wasn't it. Actually, I started praying for their good. Even though I didn't like them, even though I wasn't feeling it, my words to God were, God, be with her, because they hurt. And then I would move on to something else. And then I would come back again to it the next time in my prayers. And I would come back again to it. I would come back again to it. And in time, there was a shift. In time, I found myself just not kind of turning away in revulsion. I found myself being able to have hope for myself. God's goal in our life is a loving relationship, both in having a relationship with us and with also having loving relationships with one another. Even our enemies, even the people that we're struggling with. And the closer we get to God, the absolute truth is, the closer that we're going to get to God is dependent on how close we are able to allow ourselves to get to other people. United Methodist will say that when we do intercessory prayer, we're coming alongside God in the activity of building those loving relationships. That God's at work and we are at work together to meddle, to intervene, to act, to forgive, to support, to be present, to love as God loves. And our best prayers can be described as meddlesome when it draws us into action, not escapism, not just those thoughts and prayers expressions that sometimes we just kind of throw against the wall like spaghetti, hoping that something sticks, not just kind of trite expressions offered as a distant courtesy, but prayer that changes us and expands our compassion and our solidarity with the world through Christ. Thoughts, prayers, and action. Even if it's just showing up. Even if it's just standing in the same space. Get up off your knees. One of the most meddlesome of the intercessory prayers might be a line that we're likely to pray all the time. We're going to pray it in just a few minutes. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This line isn't some kind of acquiescence to just letting things happen however they're going to happen. It's, you know, it is what it is. It's going to be what it's going to be. Instead, this is more of an invitation where we open ourselves to being co-workers alongside of God. Thy will be done even if I'm part of it. If we really mean that line, that we want God's will to be done, then we have to agree to align ourselves with that will of God, that loving goal to work with God in accomplishing that. Thy will be done on earth right now as it is in heaven, as it will be in the kingdom of God that is to come. You with me? Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yes.
Okay, there's a couple more things I'm going to briefly touch on that I think are important to say. First, in 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 2, you heard that we're supposed to be like drawn together prayers. That's Paul's advice to Timothy, who's a pastor. He's a protege of Paul, and he's saying, I think you need to offer supplications and prayers and intercessions and thanksgiving for everyone. That's kind of what we're talking about and what we've been talking about for the last few minutes. But then he says, for kings and all who are in high positions, to the purpose of enabling a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. I don't know about you, but I don't feel peaceful and quiet. And I certainly have felt an absence of godliness and dignity in every way. So there is work here to pray for folks for a purpose. This is a clear command to pray for government leaders at every level, regardless of whether one agrees with them or not, agrees with them ideologically, agrees with them politically, agrees with them strategically, agrees with them in the way they dress. Trusting that when we pray, that God works through such prayers for the good and peace of all people, and trusting that we are working to help the world be in alignment with God in that work. Now, over the course of my ministry, over the course of the 25-some years I've been called a pastor, I have prayed for a lot of different leaders, and some of them I agreed with. I thought, that person is a good person, and they're working hard for the common good. Now, they've blown it a few times. And some of those leaders that I have prayed for have been knuckleheads, in my humble opinion. Have been people that I have not agreed with, people that have blown it. I have prayed for them. None of them perfect. Governments and leaders get it right sometimes, and sometimes governments and leaders do terrible things. Do things that are an offense to God. Things that point in the opposite direction of the way of Jesus. By the way, leaders and authority in business, nonprofit schools, and religious institutions also do the same kind of shenanigans. So what I do is I pray for our leaders. I pray that they would be filled with a sense of justice and compassion and mercy, that they would be sent such wisdom to do what is right and to help me do the same. This is not a partisan act on my part. It should not be a partisan act on our parts, but an expression of the living faith that is part of what God is trying to do to bring a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. And sometimes that expression of living faith takes courage and conviction of what is right to push past the arguments and the gamesmanship and try and try and try to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, who tells us to love God and to love our neighbors like ourselves. Sometimes it takes working really hard to make sure that we are aligning with Jesus and not some self-serving cartoon version of who someone says Jesus is. I hope you're with me on that. But let me tell you the second thing as well. When we're talking about intercessory prayer, I also think it's important to remember that handling prayer requests is a sensitive matter. Now, we put out prayer requests on a regular basis. On the backside of your bulletin is a list of names, some broad categories, but a list of names. But this is a sensitive thing. As a faith community, it's really important to treat prayer requests with love and care, empowering and support them and supporting those who share them. It takes courage sometimes to ask for prayer. And sometimes there is such shame or bewilderment or pain that surrounds those requests that the details, it's hard to come out. And they don't need to. We have to be careful not to shame or embarrass or gossip about other people, but to join with God in a loving relationship and action. To help with this at our church, we try to be careful about limiting information about the circumstances people are facing. We try to do that. Sometimes a lot of details come. Sometimes you're just going to see somebody's in the hospital. You're just going to see somebody needs prayer. And we try to do that to give people the privacy and the dignity that is so important in hard times. And in also doing that, not to discourage other people from asking for prayer. I have been in circumstances inside of churches where a pastor would have gotten up and said, "Oh, we need to pray for Ms. Martha." Any Marthas in the room here? Good. Boy, Ms. Martha's a mess, right? Oh, Ms. Martha, she's got all this going on. And her son died of suicide last year. We got to remember that. What? And to the rest of the room, the message was, "I'm not telling that preacher anything. And I'm not going to put a prayer concern up in front of anybody." That's a contamination of God's community. It's gossip, and it's wrong. We need to give people the privacy and dignity that is so important in hard times, and to not discourage others from asking for prayer. God knows the details of any need. What is needed is for your prayers to show up in love. Weaponizing and abusing intimate knowledge of people is just wrong. Gossiping is a sin. Now, we can be forgiven for sins. We've blown it before, but we can do better. And I have to say, if we have blown it with you, I am truly sorry. And we can do better. Now, we could actually talk a lot more about this and kind of keep on going, but I think it might be better for us to actually take some time to do the work that we've been talking about and reflecting on. So what I would like to do is I would like to move us into a time of prayer. And in doing so, I'm going to invite you to do two things to get ready. One, in just a moment, the choir is going to sing, and that's a way to kind of signal, all right, You know, it's a way to kind of signal your sympathetic nervous system. All right, let's just kind of center ourselves, sort of settle down. Get ready for this, right? And then we're going to take a few moments to pray. We'll do it in a slightly different way than we normally do. It's called a bidding prayer. And what I'll do is I will give a broad category and then leave some space for silent or spoken prayers. Maybe you want to whisper those prayers. Maybe you want to just hold them in your heart. But we will take those by category. And at the end of each one of those, I would encourage you to say, I will say, Lord, in your mercy, and I encourage you to say, hear our prayers. Now, that's a way of saying, we agree with this, Lord. We know this is important. Please do this. It's a way of saying amen. So, Lord, in your mercy. Sisters, let us pray for the people of this congregation. God, we pray that we may become living prayers, open channels to God's love in our daily life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Together we pray for those who suffer and those who are in trouble. God, we pray that our compassion would move us not to just words, but to faithful action, providing care and hope and presence. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
We pray for those who may feel hesitant or ashamed to ask for help. Pray that the church might be a safe and trustworthy place for every need. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. We pray for the concerns of this local community. For students that are coming back to school. God, we pray for every family, neighbor, workplace, and school facing need, and for our shared responsibility in seeking the common good. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
We pray for all workers, for those seeking employment, and for the labor by which we serve one another. We pray for just wages, safe working conditions, and dignity in every word. Thank you. pray that you would bless all those who work and how that work sustains us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. We pray, God, for our brothers and sisters at Annunciation Catholic Church and all who are very worried and afraid. Help us as we grieve and strive to do what's right. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
We pray for our country and its leaders, for the world, its peoples, and its leaders. As Christ's body, we intercede for wisdom, justice, mercy, and compassion amongst all of those who bear public trust and hold power. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Hear us as we pray for the earth you have given to us for our care. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
We pray for the Church Universal, for our denomination and our local churches, for our bishop, for all leaders and members, and the mission of the church. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
We pray in communion with the saints, trusting that our prayers join with all who have gone before us, that strengthened by their witness, we grow into the faithfulness of Christ's hope in this world, that we pray for those that we dearly love, who we name before you now. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Grant us your peace, God, and help us to do your work. For we pray all of this in the holy and the loving name of Jesus Christ our Lord, that same Jesus who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.